what was interesting to me as I was reading this, I discovered that, and I've kind of known this about things, and I've talked about it in the past about Bible and about, you know, the pharmaceutical industry and stuff like that. If you learn from somebody who has it wrong, and then they learn and they learn and they learn, you just keep getting it wrong. And a lot of the information that's out there about Martin Luther is wrong because the second or third hand generation just learned it wrong, and then they kept it going. And it's probably wrong because of who Luther was trying to reform. You know, they wanted to demonize him, so they would make up stuff about it. And so people just, books and books and books were written on him, and they were all incorrect. And this guy wrote this book to correct it, because he said, you know, he said Luther was the deal. You know, he was the real deal. I mean, you kind of have to be. If you do what Luther did, which was, you know, be prostrate before God and just anguish every day over your sin, you know, God's going to come find you. Because that guy, he wanted to know God. He wanted to be what God wanted. And so God's not just going to leave that guy alone. So God talked to this guy. It was interesting because, you know, I was getting trouble from my family members because I'll bring up other denominations. And so they're like, you can't do that. You can't talk about other denominations. And I'm not talking about the people in the denominations. I'm talking about the corporate structure, you know, or their corporate beliefs. And it was interesting because as I was reading this book, it said something to this. It said the Catholic Church, because this is about Christian ethics, this book. It said the Catholic Church wants to rule the state. The Calvinist Church wants to be the state. But Luther said that the state is designed to bless and protect man and the church.
Wow.
And so the Catholics say that Luther wanted to control the state, which is exactly what they wanted to do. It's funny, I find that a lot of people are very not creative. They'll go and they'll find somebody that has done nothing wrong and they'll blame them of something, and you go, that's a weird thing to blame them. And then it comes out later that that's what they've been doing their entire life. You know, they've done that sin, and they're so uncreative that they just take their sin and they put it on that person. And it's so, you know, again, I'm not going after Catholics. I'm just going after their church, because their church has a lot of bad teaching. And when your teaching is polluted, then the next guy learns, and the next guy learns, and the next guy learns, and then you can't know the truth unless you dig into the Word. But, you know, they're told not to dig into the Word. Don't dig into this Bible. And if you haven't been to seminary, if you don't know who we are, don't dig into this. You won't understand it. That's just the opposite. God said, please dig into my Word. I want to reveal myself to you personally. It's awesome. When you read the Word, it just opens up to you. He talks to a nobody. That's what's the best. He doesn't need anybody important. He doesn't need anybody serious. He doesn't need anybody that's good. And that's good, because we're not. It's, you know, the devil can do that. The devil will come to you and go, you've been sinning a lot lately. God's not going to talk to you. Oh, that's ridiculous. God will talk to you immediately. He'll talk to you in the midst of you sinning. He's not going to not talk to you. God loves you. He pursues you. It's interesting. I was driving here this morning, and I thought about the parable of the prodigal son. I thought, well, that's interesting. God, the father let that guy go away. He just let him go away. And I thought, and you know what? That's actually love, because the son said, "Hey, I don't want your deal anymore. I want to go do my own thing. Can I have my inheritance? I'm out of here." And the father, loving his son, said, "Yeah." And that's what God does. If you don't want God, God's not going to keep you. I thought, well, what about the 99? You know, because there's another parable about the 99. But the difference was, the one sheep was just lost. The son wanted to go away. And both of those are love. God pursued that lost sheep and went and found it. So, because the stories seem like they fight against each other. Like, well, that doesn't, you know, if God lets one get away and one he goes after. It's because the one, he loved that son so much that he let him go. God's not going to force you to be with him. He desires you to want to be with him. So that's, you know, it's really important to see that God's whole thing is he just loves us. He loves us so much, but he's not going to force us. But you know, the thing is when you get to know him, when you read his word and you get to know who God is, you just start to fall in love with him and you want to spend time with him. And that's where you got to be. And that's hard because you go, God, I don't have that desire. I don't wake up and go, woohoo, I'm going to spend time with God today. You know, that's not, our flesh doesn't want to do that. You're like, what's on, you know, Facebook or YouTube or, you know, what work do I have to do today or, you know, whatever, you know. But it's because we don't really understand who God is. And the more, it's just like when you fall in love with somebody, the more you fall in love with them, you just want to be with them all the time. Mary and I get on each other's nerves, but I can't imagine being without her. I mean, we can yell and scream at each other and just say hateful things. But we love each other. And the cool thing is we both love each other unconditionally, so it doesn't matter. Whatever we say to each other, we know we love each other. And it's, you know, we can say dumb things, and in the end, we both apologize. That was dumb. I shouldn't have said that. So it's awesome. It's awesome. That's the way God loves us, unconditionally, that whatever we say or whatever we do, however bad we mess up, we can walk right back to him, and immediately we're back in his presence. You know, that was the son said, hey, I messed up. And the father said, come on in. And the son was like, no, I'll be a servant. He's like, no, you're my son. Get the robe and kill the calf. And, you know, he was just excited to have him home. You know, that's God. He didn't care. He didn't care if he stank or, you know, he wasted all the money, which he did all that. He just kept messing up, you know. He didn't care. He was just excited. Hallelujah. So, let's see. I got a few things. All right. This is kind of a brain bender, but I like this statement. It says a man who's in Christ, who's been saved, is a perfectly free Lord of all and subject to none. So when you're saved, God sets you free, and you're free. But also, a Christian man is perfectly dutiful servant and a subject to all. That's awesome. And why? Why can we do that? Because I said a couple months ago, I was talking about royalty. And when you have everything, it is nothing for you to just serve and give. Because you're full. There's nothing more than you can get. You got it all. You got everything. God has everything and he's given it to us. And when you have everything, it's so easy to just to help and serve and bless. Because you know you don't have any need. It's hard to get there sometimes because the world is constantly shouting at us. And that's because we're not looking at God. We're looking at our circumstances. It's fun. I think God tests me from time to time. He'll, you know, I'll be working and working and working, and all of a sudden the work will start to dry up a little bit. And you can get that little... But then God goes, have I not always come through? Yeah, of course you have. And it's funny because this guy that I work with, he said, you know, work's slowing down a little bit. And you go, huh. Interesting. And then like 10 people call me out of the blue, just say, hey, do you have time to, yeah, I do. And I don't know if that's the work slowed down and God was providing work, or God knew that these people were going to call me and so he slowed the work down. And I know that in the past, because when I had my business, I said, God, I need to work. I need to work a lot. And then he gave me too much work. And I said, God, I can't handle all this work. Slow it down. And he did. That's God. You know, it was weird when I went to work with this guy. I thought, I've had a business and I've had it for 20 years. How are all these people just going to disappear? And he said, no, I want you to work with this guy. And I did. And just the phone stopped ringing. That's insane. I've had that business for 20 years and it rings off the wall. When God lays something out for you, he's already prepared everything. So it's awesome. He loves you. He wants to bless you. Let's see. Oh, excuse me. Wow. It was interesting. This is nothing to do with it, but I thought it was a neat thing. Luther wrote a song. It's very kind of just one line out of it. It says, he who could not be contained by the universe is now held in Mary's arms, and he has become a small infant, although he alone upholds everything that is. Oh, man, that's awesome. God did that for us. He made everything, rules everything, owns everything, and yet became the most vulnerable, innocent thing ever. He came so that he could grow up, show us the way, die for us, so that we could be clean and become his bride. I mean, that's the whole point. We were at a church, and it was a good church. Mary's parents' church is a good church. But they stop at salvation. They go, salvation is the most important thing. You're like, no, that's the beginning. Salvation is the beginning of everything. You have to be saved so that you can start over. You know, you can start because, you know, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they didn't put a hiccup in God's plans, but, you know, they kind of put a hiccup in our plans. You know, we slowed things down. But, you know, it's good to go through adversity, because when you go through adversity, things mean more to you. If things are just given to you, like Adam and Eve, they're like, God gave them a garden. Here's a garden. You can eat whatever you want. Here's all these animals you can hang out with. It's all yours. And they wanted more. I mean, they were idiots. And nowadays we'd be like, that's awesome. Because why? Because we've been through adversity. We have sin. There's sin around us. Junk happens. And we go, the Garden of Eden would be pretty awesome. So, I mean, that's like, but that's just our nature. We're always trying to find better. But what's better than God? Nothing. Nothing is better than God. God is perfect. But you know, you got to go through all the junk so you can see that. Ah, yeah, I did have the pearl of great price, and it was God. And I threw it all away. God, I want you back. You're it. You're all that matters. You're everything. There's nothing in this world that's not because of you. So, and that's good. And then God goes, oh, awesome. I was just waiting to hear that. Come on back. One of the things he said was this book was about ethical standards. So it's about, more or less, it's about God, you know, I mean, about this. Anyway, he said, any use of ethical standards divorced from the source or God prevents these standards from being good or evil. So it was interesting because he said this thing. He said, a lot of Christians see your walk as a string of pearls, and here's God, and then here's everything after it. He goes, that's incorrect. It should be a rose, and God is the center, and all the petals are around that rose. And it's like, yeah. This shouldn't be as divorced from God as it is, because, you know, you go God, and then it gets, you know, less and less and less and less until you're way out here. Everything should be in that center. Everything revolves around God. Everything you do in your life should be revolved around God. It just, first of all, it just practically, it makes life a whole lot easier. it's like, you know, I was trying to figure something out the other day, and I couldn't figure it out, and I couldn't get any information. But, you know, if I could have talked to the guy that made it, it would have all made sense. If you're with the guy that made everything, then it all makes sense. So, all right. Hallelujah. Where are we at? John chapter 15. Woohoo! Now, I love this chapter. I don't know why, but I just do. I love every chapter in the Bible, but this one's a good one. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me not bearing fruit, he taketh it away. And each one bearing fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. You know what's interesting is, I was talking to my father-in-law, and I said, so we've had this pear tree in our yard for 10 years. And I've not ever gotten a single pear off of it. I said, what's wrong? He goes, if you want to make a fruit tree fruit, you have to stress it. You have to prune it and put some stress on it, because then it goes, oh, I need to survive. And it'll start producing fruit, because how does a tree survive? It produces fruit so that it can have a next generation. We got to be pruned so that we can survive. You know, we go into survival mode. Ah, I need to do something. So when you prune a grapevine, it, you know, you can have a grapevine out there and it'll grow and it'll grow and it'll grow and it'll grow and it won't really do much. But as soon as you prune it, it starts producing fruit. We got to go through that tribulation. We got to have all the junk cut off of us, because we have a lot of junk on us that we've added over the years. We even add our own stuff, you know. We just come with it. We added stuff to it. You're like, well, that looks good too. I'm going to add that. I'm going to add that over there. That seems like it'll do well. And God's got, so stop adding stuff. Let God take it away and don't put any more on. Just get it down to the basics. You know, that's what's interesting. So, hallelujah. He prunes so that it may bear more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word which I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you. So that's good. It's good. It's good to have God in us. I mean, we have the creator of the universe in us, and that's, and we take that so lightly. That doesn't, it, we're just very cavalier about that. But the creator of the universe is living inside of us. I can't even comprehend what that means. I mean, does that mean, you know, what? Am I all powerful? Am I now Superman? You know, I mean, what is that? No, again, we're just vessels. Remember, we're just, what does a vessel do? It doesn't do anything. It just sits there to be used. So, it's a good thing I don't have all the power in the universe, because I would not do well with it. I would do a lot of what seemed to be fun, but probably very destructive stuff. If you guys have ever seen that movie with that weirdo guy, where God comes down and gives him his power for a couple of days. I am the vine and you are the branches. He that remains in me and I in him, this one bears much fruit. And, you know, a lot of times we think about the fruit and you're like, that's not even the important part. It's just abiding in him. That's what's the important part. He's like, abide in me and you'll produce fruit. One of the cool things about this book is it said a lot of, and I know this is true because I've even had his own thoughts. People will say, well, I have to do this so that I can be with God. No, the answer is God has to do this so that you can be with him. God did everything so that you could be with him. You didn't do anything and you can't do anything. He did everything so that you could be with him. So it's always important to go all the way back to the very, 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 very beginning. Not take a polluted understanding of something that's diluted and had somebody else's, you know, that telephone game where somebody says something and by the end you go, how close is it to the original? And it's never close to the original. So that's why you got to go back to the source, the beginning. That's why the Bible is so important, because it was Holy Spirit inspired. God wrote it down so that we could know. And then a lot of guys, so here's a weird fact. You can't write a new translation of the Bible unless you change at least 10% of all the previous versions. You guys know that? So how accurate are they going to be if you have to change at least 10%? So it's not plagiarism. It's like, it's God. How can you, if God wants you to plagiarize him. Please. God's like, please plagiarize me. I'd love it if you did that. So, you know, how accurate can all those translations be? I am the vine, and you are the branches, and he that remains in me, and I in him, this one bears much fruit. For apart from me, you are not able to do anything. So, it's pretty clear. Unless one remains in me, he is cast out as the branch and is dried up, and they gather and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. So practically, it's good to remain in him. But also, I mean, it's good. I always think God does, because the way our brains work, we're, first of all, we're practical, and then we're spiritual, or at least mine, at least. I don't know if you guys are that way. It's like, God's like, you see the practical first. Do this, because it's good for you. And then afterwards, you see, oh, and then you see the love. Oh, you did that because you love me, not just because it was practical. You did it because you love me, and you're in love with me, and you want to spend eternity with me. I get it. Then you see the reality of it, not just the practicality of it. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, whatever you desire, you will ask and it shall happen to you. You know, that one, I have to wrestle with that one, because I'm like, well, God, I've asked you for stuff and it hadn't happened. And you go, God was like, yeah, well, that probably wasn't going to bless you. You know, or I had a different idea. My scripture that I stand on always is, Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father in heaven doing. I'm like, okay, All right, so I need to ask God, God, what is good for me? What do I need to pray for? How do I need to pray for this? How am I supposed to spend my day every day? It's funny. You get aggravated at people, or, you know, I can get aggravated at Gabby because she's not doing what I want her to do. But God just tells us to slow down. You know, you get mad at, like, you know, I'll get on a job and the customer will be taking forever. I'm like, ah, just, you know, make up your mind and do this and that so I can finish this job, so I can get on to the next job. And God's just saying, hey, am I not in control? Am I not, you make your plans, but God guides your steps. Am I not guiding your steps? And you're like, ah, sorry, God, you're right. You're going to bless me out of this. To me, it seems awful. I want to finish. I want to get on to the next job. And you're just telling me to be patient. And it's good to learn to be patient. That song, you know, when you're a song, have patience. You know, there's a turtle singing it. You guys know that one? There is no need to hurry. You know that one? That's good. We do. We need to be patient. You know, when you're rushing around, I'll bring up a dumb analogy, but there's a video game analogy. If you run around and you're really fast, you miss things and you mess up. But if you take your time and you're very deliberate, you see so much more and you can do so much more. That's the same way in life. If you're just constantly running around and being busy, you're not hearing God and you're going to miss things because you're worried about this or thinking about that or whatever. Slow down. Slow down. Listen to God. God will tell you what to do. He already has it all lined out. And you ever notice that He's not quick? So why are we quick? Why do we think? We think, well, God's been around forever and we only got 85 years or whatever. You know, I better hurry this up. I'm already halfway through my life. I was thinking my dad died at 81. I've only got 30 some odd years left. 30 years is a long time for God to do something. God can do a lot. So why are you in a rush? I mean, like I say all the time, I am really good at wasting time. You know, why can't I just slow down? Why do I get hurry up so I can waste some more time? Why don't you just waste some time with God? If you remain in me and my words remain in you, whatever you desire you will ask and it shall happen to you. In this my Father is glorified, that you should bear much fruit and you will be my disciples. Fruit is it's neat. Because it's like you do something for somebody and you don't expect anything from it, and you're like, oh, that definitely wasn't me. That's God. That's God, the vine, working through me, the branch, doing for something for somebody else, and I'm happy that He's glorified. You know, if you got an ulterior motive, if you want glory out of it, don't do that. What do you need glory for? God already gave you everything. That's, again, if God gave you everything, if you have everything, you don't need glory. You don't need honor. You don't need praise. You already have everything. It's like, what more could you want? As the Father loved me, I also loved you, and you continue in my love. And I keep you, and if you keep my commandments, you will continue in my love, as I keep my Father's commandments and continue in His love. You know, I mean, it's, when you're in love with somebody, you can do things that kind of irk you because you know it blesses them. You know, like, she doesn't so much anymore, but Mary used to have all these things we would do every night before we go to bed just because she had to have them done, because otherwise she would lay up, you know, make sure the alarm is set, make sure the curtains are closed, and make sure the doors are all locked, and make sure all the windows are locked. We do this stuff every night, and man... it was too many things. I'm like, let's just go to bed. You know, why we have to do all... But you know what? I love her. And so I do it. You know? You do dumb things like that because you love them. Because it blesses her and allows her to sleep. And it's good. If she can sleep, then I can sleep. If she can't sleep, then I'm probably not sleeping. I'll be awake. Damn. So, it's good. I have spoken these things to you that my joy may abide in you, and your joy may be full. Remember, I always say there's a difference between joy and happiness. You know, happiness is based off of circumstance, and joy is just, you just have it because God gave it to you. It's in you. And you go, I know that time when I did that job and I finally came to the end of myself and I said, God, if everything falls apart, I love you. If everything goes my way, I love you. And that's joy. You can have joy because you're not, your well-being isn't based on your circumstance. It's based on just knowing that God's got you, no matter how it turns out. And oftentimes in the Old Testament, it didn't turn out well for the Jews. It's because they weren't, you know, doing whatever they should do. It just didn't turn out well. But you know what? It didn't matter. God immediately would welcome them back into his arms as soon as they said, "Hey, God, we're into your deal again." And he goes, "Oh, yeah, I knew you would be. You're tired of the tribulation, huh?" It's like, "Yeah." He goes, "I love you. I'm here for you. I made you my people, but I'm not going to force you. You know, if you want it, you want it. If you don't, I'm not going to force you," because that's love, you know. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." So, how did God loves us in many ways, but the number one was he gave his son to die for us. Could you give your life for somebody else? And I've thought about that, and I think I could. When the rubber meets the road, whether or not it would happen, I don't know. I always think, I could do that, but would it have any impact? That's your second thought. You're like, "Oh, now I'm being selfish." I'm not being, you know, it's like, whatever. "Greater love than this hath no man, that anyone should lay down his soul for his friends." I always think, when I read that verse, I always think of the Alamo. And it just rips me apart, because all those people died for us to have freedom, and they have no idea what gift they gave to us. You know, God did that. God gave his life so that we could have freedom. And when, you know, so it's like, man, what a gift. And they don't know. They won't know until, you know, they get to heaven. You know, God, they probably, I don't even know if they'll even know. I don't know if they get that kind of information once you get to heaven, you know, and you wake up. "Hey, by the way, you guys won the Alamo." They won't even care. I mean, why would you care? "Hey, did we win that, God?" You know, you're not going to be thinking about that. You're going to be thinking, "I'm in the presence of God." The Alamo will not matter anymore. But it's like those men, when I read that verse, those men and women, they gave their life so that we could worship God and have freedom. And why? Why would you do that? Man, they knew God. You would have to know God to do that. You don't just do that on a whim. You're giving up your life. You're not going to get it again. You're not going to breathe again. You're not going to see your family. You're not going to see your friends. You'd have to really, really, really trust God. "And you are my friends, and if you are my friends, if you do whatever I command you." So, sorry, that's a that wasn't a question. That was a statement. "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. I no longer call you slaves, for slaves do not know what his Lord does, but I call you friends, because all things which I heard from my Father, I make known to you." It's good. It's neat whenever I say this, and just to prove how stupid I am, you know, I just goof off and goof off and goof off. And if I need something to God, I get quiet and I go to God and he answers me. It's like, why don't I do that more? Why don't I just do that all the time? I could just constantly be in God's presence. I mean, I am in God's presence. God is in me. But it's like I waste so much time, and it's so silly. And then I go, but is it? I'm like, am I doing it? I mean, because you go, I'm not God. I can't know what's right. God made me who I am. Then you go through this whole wrestle in your head, and you're like, it's like, hallelujah. "My Father and I made..." Oh, sorry. "But I called you friends, because all things which I heard from my Father I made known to you. You have not chosen me, but I chose you out and planted you, that you should go and should bear fruit, and your fruit remain, that whatever you should ask in the Father's name, he may give you." I guess what I'm getting at today is just, we've got everything. and I find myself, it's funny because I'm so bold, and yet sometimes God, I'll feel like God is saying, "Hey, you should." Like I talked to a fellow yesterday, and I was and I said something, and I was like, and I was like, God was probably saying, "Hey, you should invite him to church." I didn't. That was stupid. I'm so bold and so ridiculous, and so what if he said no? But it's like, I should love that guy enough to invite him, and if he says no, so be it. If he hates me, so be it. I should invite him anyways. Because why? Because he could have a chance for eternity with Christ. I mean, he may have known God. I don't know. But it's like, I should be that bold to do. Just go and tell him. Who cares if I look like a fool? I mean, does it matter? It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything. So the word that popped in my head was, well, what if you run for president one day? That guy would be like, that guy's an idiot. Doesn't matter. I'm not going to run for president. But it did say that in my yearbook. I'll remember you when I'm president. So I had great plans. Remember, we make our plans, but God guides our steps. I was going to be in politics. If I ever run for politics nowadays, it'll be just so I can have money for the rest of my life. Why are you running? Well, because you get paid forever and you get free health care. It's like, why else would you run for Congress or Senate or whatever? It's like you're not doing... You're not blessing the people. Remember, the government was designed to bless the people. You're there to bless the people. We don't work for you. You work for us. You know. Sorry, I'm on a side tangent, but it's like, it's because people have lost their way. That fellow that I listened to up in Oklahoma, he's it's funny. He's talking about common law, and that's like what my dad was talking about. I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, and it's so important because it's like God's law, then there's natural law, and then there's common law, and then there's the Constitution, and then there's like, you know, whatever happens in court. And people think that what happens in court is the most important, but it's like, no, you know, there's the Constitution, and above that is common law. Common law just destroys that. Because common law is based on blessing the people. That's what common law is all about, is about protecting the people from bad guys. And then there's natural law, which is, you know, don't kill people because it's not good. You know, don't steal from people because it's not good. You know, that's... You got to go back to the beginning so you understand and so you don't misinterpret what's being said. It's funny, he'll go through these law books and he'll say a word and you go, oh, I know what that word means. And he goes, it doesn't mean that. It means this. And you're like, ah, I didn't understand that. I thought it meant that. And it means this. You have to ask God, what does your word mean? You know, you say one thing. You know, this was written down by somebody, and maybe he didn't understand what that word meant. You know, or maybe I'm reading a bad translation. Maybe I'm reading the... I won't talk about different translations. Read the King James or this one. So it's most accurate because of what it's based off of. But even between those two translations, there's differences. And a little word, that's what made was so interesting to me between the King James and this literal translation. It's a word, and you go, well, they kind of roughly mean the same thing, but they don't mean exactly the same thing. And so you have to understand, that's why you have to talk to God when you read this stuff. Some people write translations so that they go, well, I'm going to expound on this. I'm like, no, but that's your knowledge. That didn't come from God necessarily. Maybe it did. Maybe God inspired you to write that, but I don't know that. Dad would always say, I'm going to tell you something, but then you got to go to God. Don't just accept it from me. Go to God and get to ask God, is this real? Is he telling the truth or is he an idiot? So it's always important to go back to God, and God will talk to you. If you don't hear God talking to you sometimes or regularly, get quiet. He wants to talk to you. He's just dying to talk to you. So just get quiet, and he will. And he'll tell you weird things, and you're like, well, that didn't make any sense. And then when it happens, you're like, you were talking to me. And you go, I know you were talking to me because that was dumb. And then it came true. And so it's obvious that you were saying that. God does that. He does weird things. He comes in a burning bush. And Moses, you know, well, there's a bush on fire. You know, how is God talking through a bush? He got Moses' attention, you know. So God is fun, and he's unique, and he loves us. Where am I at? "These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hates me before it hated you. And if you..." And that's... I guess it's because I'm a believer and I don't understand that. I'm like, why wouldn't you just want God? And then you'd get the spiritual later. Why wouldn't you just go practically, "I don't want to go to hell"? Because people want to sin. That's like, you're going to sin anyways. Might as well become a Christian and then let God take care of that sin. Just because, I know I've told this before, but there was a guy that said, "Hey, I thought you were a Christian. I thought Christians don't sin anymore." I said, "No way." I said, "We still sin." So we just need, we know where to go to get forgiven. it's like, that's just dumb. But it's good. You know, the more time you spend with God, your sins become more intricate. they get dumber. You know, at first they were outward sins, like, "Hey, I drink beer." And now they're like, "I'm deceptive." And nobody knows it. You know, it's like, because you have to be more creative about your sin, because now you're a Christian and you can't just sin outwardly. You got to be good. I'm just talking. I'm just being silly. But the more time you spend with God, the less, and you realize who God is. So years ago in my marriage, I would buy stuff secretly because it was going to make me happy. Mary didn't know about it. And one day God revealed to me that there was no happiness in it. And it was like, and my mind just blew up. And it was a fear of not being accepted. And so I would like to buy neat things so that people would accept me. And I realized that people are either going to accept me or not accept me, and that's not important. That Jesus loves me, and that would never bring me joy. And it's like one of those, I could think of like times in my life when you just have one of those exploding moments where you're all of a sudden your world just gets bigger. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. It's like you hear something and like all this stuff makes sense all of a sudden. It's like, whoa, I got it. And man, it's freeing. Because that was a bondage to me, because I thought, well, that's going to bring me joy, even though I know God said no and my wife is angry because I'm spending money, because she always found out. Because I'm a bad hider. I'm a lazy hider. It's good. You know, God can take that out of your life and instantly or slowly. You know, and it's funny because I would go, God showed me, and then I would do it a few more times, and then he'd remind me, and then I finally understood it. So if God reveals something to you and you don't immediately stop doing whatever it is you're doing, usually it's God just saying, "Hey, here's what I'm working on. Here's the big picture. By the way, I'm working on this. Here's the answer." Somebody said something the other day on Facebook, and that was what I said. I said, if you're listening to people and they only have problems, don't listen to them. I said, but if they say, "Here's the problem, but here's the solution," that's what God always does. God always says, "Here's your sin, and here's the solution. I'm going to take care of it." Oh, thank you. Because if you just said, "Here's your sin," I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, I would go, well, I can't ever do anything about that, so I'm just going to go sin more because I can't fix that. I'm not up to it. But God said, "Here's your sin, and then here's the solution. It's my son. He died and he covered that. So the sin part is already covered, and now I'm going to work on getting that out of your life so you don't even do it anymore. And you won't even miss it." It's like God cuts off stuff and you think, "Oh God, I'm going to miss that." And you don't. You don't miss it because he fills you with so much other stuff. It was funny. My mom said to me one time, I was listening to secular rock and roll, you know, just whatever was on the radio station. And she said, "Is that feeding your spirit?" I was like, "Oh, it's not feeding my spirit at all. It's feeding my flesh. And now I can no longer enjoy this." But that was God, man. God, and my mom doesn't even remember saying that. And she probably didn't even, it probably just, God just spoke through her. Gave her that word to say to me. But I was free of that, just like that. And it was like, yeah, I can just listen to God's music and I don't have to listen to the world's music for joy. Because, you know, it seemed like it was fun. But then you realize it doesn't feed my spirit. And Mary would say the same thing about video games. She goes, "If you turn it off, will it change anything?" I'm like, "Absolutely not." It's just ones and zeros. As soon as it's gone, it's gone, and it didn't add anything to my life. So you're like, that's like has absolutely no value other than my entertainment. So hallelujah. Let's see. But these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and had not spoken to them, they had no sin. But now that they do not have excuse as to their sin. So, you know, it's like, we know when we sin. It's like, if someone perfect isn't around, have you ever had someone you thought was perfect? There was this girl in high school, and I used to think, man, she is perfect. And then one day God revealed to me, she sins just like I do. Because I thought, she doesn't ever do anything wrong. I can't imagine her doing anything wrong. And that was, what a stupid thought to think that someone doesn't ever sin. We all sin. It's like, and when you see somebody like that, you think, man, I can't be around that person because they're good. They're a goody two-shoes. But you know what? They're probably miserable inside because they're always being good instead of being themselves. Let God change them. That's what God needs you to be. You know, God doesn't want you to be in chair two. Hey, chair two, wherever it used to be up there. Chair two is hypocrisy. I'm good. You're not. Get back to chair one. I'm evil. Good. God can work with that. God didn't come for the righteous. He came for sinners. Are you a sinner? I mean, not anymore. You're saved. Were you guys sinners? You sin, but you're not sinners anymore because you're covered in the blood. Jesus covered that. So it's good. You got to realize you're evil. If you think you're good, then, you know, when I do something good, if I ever do something amazing, I immediately go, that wasn't me, that was God. Why? Because I'm a sinner. I mess things up. I don't do anything good unless God did it through me. And I've been doing a lot of good things lately. So that means God has been working through me because it wasn't me. It was God. God doing awesome things through me, a vessel who can do nothing. And that's freeing. When you realize that you don't have to do it, you can let God do it. Yeah, that's freedom. That's freedom. There's no, remember Jesus said, take my yoke. Mine's easy. Yours is hard. Well, it's not hard to him, but to you it's hard. Let me take yours. I'll do it. I already did mine. I already finished my puzzle. You take my puzzle that's done and I'll work on yours. You know, it's like, and we have a little 8-piece puzzle we were having trouble with, and he's got a gajillion piece puzzle he already finished. You know, he's like, I'll do your puzzle. You do mine. It's already done. Where am I at? The one hating me also hates my Father. If I do not do the works among them which no other did, they had no sin. But now they both have seen and also have hated me and my Father. But that may be fulfilled the word that has been written in the law, they hated me without cause. It's true, when you do good, people hate you, and you're like, why? Why do you hate me? Because they see themselves and they hate themselves. It's funny when people say, this person hates me. It's like, no, they don't hate you. They hate themselves. And they see you and they see how evil they are and they go, I hate you because you're making me feel bad about myself. It's like, ah. That's like I always say, when people are sinners, just sin. If I'm a Christian and I'm bothering you, you sinning, then you're not really enjoying the sin. If I'm around and you can't sin, that's probably because you know you're not supposed to be. It's like, you got to get to chair one, be wicked, and then let God change you. And when the Comforter comes, the Holy Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, that one will witness concerning me, and you also witness, because from the beginning you are with me. So, remember, God's, the whole reason God created the universe was to have a bride for Jesus. And we're it. He chose us. We're not worthy, but He says we are. That's the thing. That's the thing. It's like, God, I'm not worthy. And Jesus said, yeah, you are. You're worth it. You are so worth it, I will die on the cross. and that doesn't make any sense. You're like, why? Why? I don't do anything nice for you or to you or say anything nice about you. You know, I'm selfish and I'm, you know, greedy and evil and lustful and whatever. And you died for me? I said, yeah. And I do it again and again and again. But I only needed to do it once. Because I was perfect. I came. I didn't sin. And my blood covered all your sins. And I want to show you a better way. A way that's full of joy. There's no fear. And there's no death. And there's no sadness. I want you to spend all eternity with me. We can't even comprehend that. I don't know if you can. I cannot comprehend that. But I accept it. And I'm like, I'll take it. I'll take that. Thank you, God, for loving me. Thank you for creating me, redeeming me, growing me up, filling me full of your power so that I could give to others, giving me everything I need so that I could, without no holes barred, just bless people and not worry about how I'm going to be blessed. I don't need it. God is good. I hope nothing today was, it should have lifted you up. I always want, it should never be painful. It should just be, I hope it just like, you probably, I'm sure you guys all know everything I'm saying, but if not, it should just be awesome. It should be freeing. Everything that comes out of my mouth should be freeing to you. If it's not, then you're looking at it the wrong way. That's because that God is about freedom. Remember, He died so that we would be free. And free from sin and bondage and death and guilt. And remember, guilt is a sin. Because guilt says, I'm going to feel guilty about this so that I can cover my own sin. Nope. Jesus already covered it. So, hallelujah. God is good. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for everyone here. Thank you for each and every one. What a blessing they are. You love each and every one of us individually. You know all the hairs on our head. You know every good and bad thought in our mind. You know all our desires. You know all of our needs. You love each and every one of us, despite ourselves. Keep everyone safe today, Father. Let our words be edifying to one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.